there were no other reason to come to Christmas Eve service, that was it. That was great. Give him a hand. Thank you guys so much for sharing with us the music. It was wonderful. This message, the meditation, you notice in the bulletin, it says, "The Baby with an Eye Towards God." The title of the message started out to be "This Child." This child, and you will hear that several times as I share with you my thoughts tonight. There was a song, and it was on the radio. It was "This Child Shall Be," and it over and over repeated that, "This Child." Well, I went on the internet to find that song, and do you think I could find it? Nowhere. And so I cannot share the words with you, but the thought is what comes through tonight is "This Child," and that's what we are here to celebrate. We're here to celebrate this child, the one who would become our, or not would become, who was our Savior and would give his life on the cross for our salvation. This child, and we are here to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Jesus was a very special child. He was unique. He was one of a kind. Lots of babies are born, and they're all wonderful. Somebody say amen. They're all wonderful, but Jesus was a special child. He was the Son of God. And today, he is our Savior. I'm sure that very night, there were many babies that were born, but Jesus was the one that outshines them all. And I want to share with you just a couple of ways that Jesus was the special child that came into this earth. And the message is entitled, "With an Eye Towards God." But I just want to suggest a few ways that his eyes were towards God. First of all, we see Jesus was a special child because he had heaven in his eyes. Now, I don't know that you would look into the eyes of Jesus when he was a baby and when he was born, or even as an adult, and you would see heaven. And so, obviously, I speak very much in a figurative sense, but very, very, in a very real sense, he had heaven in his eyes. Jesus knew why he came to this earth before he became incarnate. I believe that Jesus realized the weight of the necessity that would be laid upon him to come to this earth to be our Savior, to be the sacrifice for our sins. And tonight, as I share with you, we see heaven in his eyes. Revelation chapter 13, beginning with verse 7 through 9, it says, "And it was given unto him," this is the Antichrist, "given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them," and that's to happen in a future day. "And power was given unto him over all kindreds and tongues and nations, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him." Now, we're not here to talk about him tonight. We're here to talk about the very next part of this verse. "Whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man hear, let him hear." Jesus had heaven in his eyes. He is the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. The moment God uttered the first words of creation, he knew what the price would be to pay for your sins and to pay for my sins. And Jesus was that price. He was the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. Truly, he had heaven in his eyes. God had a great love, and God has a great love tonight for mankind. The scripture says in Genesis 3:15, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow in thy conception, and in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." Scholars tell us that this is, and I'm going to get technical here with you, I admit that tonight, so just try to stay with me. Some of you will enjoy this, others will say, what is he talking about? But scholars call this the proto-evangelium. That's a Latin word, I guess, and immediately after the historic space-time fall of Adam and Eve, God, even in pronouncing judgment and the curse, promises deliverance through the offspring of the woman. And that is the evangelism, the proto-evangelium that is being talked about here, is the deliverance through the offspring of the woman. And in one sense, it is addressed to the serpent. God divulges the plan of salvation. He says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, to the serpent. He says that. And between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy, and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. There are two matters that are brought out. One is the completeness of Christ's victory. His heel is on the head of the serpent. And the other is the tremendous, inestimable cost at which victory and salvation is secured. In this proto-evangelism in Genesis 3:15 and 16, the divine initiative is noted. It is God who puts enmity between the two seeds, the children of light on one hand and the children of darkness on the other hand. The essence of man's deliverance consists of a reversal of his attitude from hostility towards God to a friendship with God, to be observed in the continuity of the Redeemer's work, of what Jesus came to do, what he came to this earth to do. It extends beyond the seed of Eve and beyond the seed of Satan. All nations and all generations were involved. The Redeemer's work, Jesus, our Savior, who came to this earth, it extends to the seed of Eve and Satan. All nations and all generations are included and involved in it. And finally, the outcome, listen to this. I want you to hear it tonight as we celebrate the birth of Christ. The outcome is not in doubt. Let me repeat that. The outcome is not in doubt. Victory lies in the seed of the woman, who's preeminently pictured as Christ, or as Galatians 3:16 affirms, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not to seeds of many, but of one, and to that one seed, which is Christ. And so that which I've called in this message, and which theologians have called the proto-evangelism, is the first gospel that is actually the first revelation of God's sending of his grace to this world. This is the first dawning of light of the gospel on earth in Genesis chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. And we're no different tonight. We need a Savior. We need a Savior. Somebody say amen. And we need a Savior with heaven in his eyes. When Jesus came to this earth, his eye was on the Father, and he knew that he had a job to do and a destiny to fulfill. Well, the second way we see Jesus was a special child is not only did he have heaven in his eyes, he had mankind in his eyes. In John chapter 3, beginning with verse 7, Jesus said, "Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell where it cometh from, nor whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." And Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Art thou a master in Israel and knowest not these things? Verily I say unto you, we speak what we do know. We testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness." Jesus says, "If I speak to you of earthly things and you do not believe me, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man ascended to heaven, but he who came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Now I said tonight, this and the second thought I have for you is that this infant, this baby that came, had mankind in his eye. Listen to this verse, the last verse of what two verses of what I share with you, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If there was a reason Jesus came to this earth, it was that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And that verse that we all know so well, and if you want to say it with me, go ahead. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And it goes on, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." This is the baby that had mankind in his eye. And through him the world might be saved. He that believeth on him will not be condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son. And mankind is why Jesus came to this earth. Truly, salvation extends far beyond mankind. It extends to the entire cosmos. But tonight, primarily, I believe that Jesus coming as a baby, he came so that you and I may experience that glorious, marvelous, wonderful salvation that Jesus offers through his atoning work on the cross. Well, the third way we see Jesus was a special child is he not only had heaven in his eyes, he not only had mankind in his eyes, but he had the cross in his eyes. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant." In other words, he came in the incarnation to become man. "Took upon himself the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross." This child had the cross in his eyes. He was the Lamb slain. Revelation 13:8, "And all that dwell on the earth shall worship him," the beast of Revelation, "whose names are not written in the book of life and of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." I want to tell you, it's not the beast in Revelation that has the ultimate victory. It is the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. It is the baby that came on Christmas that has that ultimate victory. Jesus' destiny was decided. In John 18:37, Pilate said to Jesus, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. And everyone that is of the truth hears my voice." This baby had heaven in his eyes. This baby had mankind in his eyes. This baby had the cross in his eyes. And finally, this baby had every individual that is seated in this sanctuary and every individual that walks the face of this earth in his eyes when he came to this earth. Romans chapter 5 says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." That's enough to make a preacher shout. Amen. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us individually. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 9, "Much more than now, being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now being reconciled," listen to this, "we shall be saved through his life." This child had heaven in his eyes. He had mankind in his eye. He had the cross in his eye. And he had every individual in his eye when he came in the incarnation to be born as a man. There's a song, a really old song. It's so old that it came around when I was a kid. The words to it, and I was able to find the words to this song. The words to it are as follows. "I was in his mind before the worlds were made. I was in his mind before earth's frame was laid. Because he knew me, because he loved me. I was in his thought the night he prayed for me. I was in his thoughts before Gethsemane. because he saw me, because he loved me. I was in his heart when Calvary's hill he climbed. I was in his heart when he died for all mankind, because he sought me, because he loved me. I am in his mind, and soon he'll come for me. I am in his mind with him in heaven to be, because he wants me, because he loves me, because he loves me. Before church tonight, I'm staying up at my mother's, by the way, in Watertown. And before church, I started singing a song, and Mom said, I recognize that song, and as she well should, because it was sung when I was just a little boy in the church that I grew up in. And the words to that song are, there's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. There's room at the cross for you. This child, yes, had heaven in his eye. Yes, he had mankind in his eye. He had the cross. He knew that the cross was there, and he had the cross in his eye. But he had you and I tonight in his eye when he came in the incarnation. And Jesus came because he loved me, because he loved you, to bring us, not proto-evangelism, but to bring us an absolute, total, and literal salvation through his atoning work on the cross. And if you've never received that gift of eternal life, the best time I think in the world to receive it would be at Christmas. And so as I close in prayer tonight, if you've never received Jesus' gift of life, you don't have to do anything fancy. You don't have to get up and run to the altar. You don't have to say anything out loud. But just simply tell Jesus, Lord, I receive that gift of eternal life tonight. I'm going to lead us in prayer, and you pray as you feel led tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the baby that had an eye towards God. And Lord, all that involved tonight, we thank you, O God. Lord, we thank you that there's still room at the cross for one. And if there's anybody here that needs to find their way to the cross tonight, we know, Jesus, that you came with that in mind to provide eternal life for each and every one of us. We ask your blessing, Lord, upon this congregation. Lord, bless the remainder of our service tonight. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you turn